The truth about the sinking of the Marawanui is slowly coming out. Can you believe this monumental f*** up? Many of us, including New Zealand citizens and ex-New Zealand defence personnel, raised our suspicions that the sinking of the ship was due to human incompetence. Well, almost 2 months later, the Navy have sheepishly admitted that human error was to blame.
Human error led to the catastrophic grounding and sinking of the HMNZS Manawanui in Samoa last month, according to the Court of Inquiry into the Maritime Disaster.
Unbelievable. Do you remember how the Defence Minister, Judith Collins, immediately reframed all of her questions and criticisms as misogynistic trolling, clearly an attempt to deflect from the Navy's failure and guilt the public into silence?
Yeah, it was extremely disappointing.
That there is egg on her face. Throughout this interview, you can see how pissed off she is. She knows she threw all her chips on playing the sexism card in the hope that it would all be swept under the rug. But now it's coming out. And I won't lie, I did get a tiny bit of satisfaction in seeing Judith squirm in front of the cameras, having to admit to the stuff up. I almost got a boner. Almost. At least they are admitting to this now, because I thought it was going to be covered up.
It found that there was a series of human errors. The ship's autopilot was not disengaged when it should have been. The crew mistakenly thought the issue was thruster control failure, and the standard procedure to check the ship was under manual control did not occur.
So we were well justified in being critical and asking questions. A series of human errors. Autopilot was not disengaged as it should have been. The crew mistakenly thought the issue was thruster control failure. Standard procedure to check that the ship was under manual control did not occur. Could you imagine the sight? What hilarity. All of them running around the bridge in a panic, shouting, "Why aren't we changing direction? Did you turn the big wheel thing? Did you hit the stop button? Just press all the buttons, see what happens." And it turns out that they hadn't fully turned off the autopilot. Not one of them could have quickly identified that. This is how panicked and foggy-brained they were during some routine peacetime operation. What the hell would they have been like if they were operating that vessel while under enemy fire during an actual war? By the way, they don't have a traditional helm, as us normies would understand, on that ship. I learnt from the What's Going On with Shipping channel that this ship is manoeuvred using a system called Azipod. Give his latest video a view to get a more technical explanation of what the crew of the Marawanui did wrong. And if you want to see how a professional and competent team react under pressure, then have a look at this video titled Battleship USS Missouri, Missile Inbound, Brace for Shock.
Other problems have been found as well.
Training, planning, supervision, readiness and risk assessments.
Well, they found other problems, anything to deflect from the DEI hiring policies. They're saying that they found issues with training, planning, supervision, readiness, risk assessment. These things are important, I'm not denying that. But these words in themselves have become overly used organisational buzzwords, which the managerial elite have hijacked in order to push themselves up the career ladder, all in lieu of them having much of worth to offer. And this is exactly what I was getting at in one of the previous videos when I said that I suspect, based on Yvonne's LinkedIn profile and the way she brags about herself in media interviews, that she's more of a bureaucrat than a ship commander. As a veteran of the public service myself, I can read between the lines and interpret this as paper shuffling roles, warfare theory and policy and procedure writing probably. So after all the fanfare they gave her when she was recruited, the big media attention, bragging about yet another female they've got in the upper ranks of the Navy, her telling the world that she's an expert in getting ships to peak efficiency, they're now telling us that the crew were low in training and had issues in planning, supervision, readiness and risk assessment. Wouldn't Yvonne, in her high level of experience and expertise and competence, be on top of all of those areas and would have identified any gaps in her team and any areas of risk, and she would have had a mitigation plan in place? The Navy website highlights that they are a force of highly trained professionals. So highly trained that they didn't even think to check if the autopilot was still on. There's $100 or so million wasted. My guess is that she and others on that boat have been promoted way beyond their abilities. And when will the Defence Force learn? Just in September this year, they were making a big song and dance about their first female divers. Who cares if they're female? As long as they're qualified and competent divers, I don't care what's down between their legs. And there's a joke to be made here about diving down between legs, but I'll leave it to you in the comments.
As I said, at least nobody died.
She said it again. At least no one died. This is what she did 2 months ago. Tried to turn the whole disaster into a positive PR campaign for the Navy, saying, hey, it's all cool, settle down, no one died. And she labelled the whole thing as a triumph. The Defence Force had their media spin team playing all the tricks, fluffy buzzwords and feel-good language to deflect from the embarrassment. At the time, Commanding Officer Commander Yvonne Gray said the incident was when her very worst imagining became a reality. However, my team responded in exactly the way I needed them to. They acted with commitment, with comradeship, and above all, with courage. But now, we're told that the lack of deaths were largely due to the efforts of the local Samoans, not the actions of Captain Diversity.
As I said, at least nobody died.
This was largely due to the actions of locals. One of the first rescue boats on the scene, civil vessel, the Double Down.
They were also playing down any possible environmental damage in the early media releases. All of the updates were worded as positively as possible, and the worst of the news was simply left out. On the 10th of October, they were talking about some signs of residual fuel coming from the vessel and that it was being dispersed by wind and waves. You know, that puts me at ease. It's being dispersed and so everything will be back to normal soon. And they said that current indications are that there is no significant impact on the shoreline or to wildlife. On the 11th of October, the slick is dissipating. Now that sounds lovely, no problems there. Maritime New Zealand has not seen any oil damage on the shore. You know, let's give the plebs all the positive news, that's all they need to hear. And they identified a leak from the engine room, but don't stress, as we're doing detailed analysis work so that we can plug the leak quickly and effectively. 14th of October, it's likely that significantly less diesel has leaked than initially assessed. Well, that's a positive, and it's also a good trick that they're playing there, because I don't recall them saying anything about how much diesel they thought had leaked. But then they swoop in on this day saying that it wasn't as much as they thought. You've all read 1984, yeah? 1 week the choco rations are at 30 grams, the next week the party makes an excited announcement that, hey, choco rations are going up to 25 grams, and the pros all applaud the magnificent efforts of the party. Still no evidence of fuel spill on the shoreline. All uplifting information. And then one more update from the 16th of October, more of the same, all positive, no pollution on the shorelines or deceased wildlife. But 6 weeks on from those updates, and we are now hearing that locals can't even fish yet due to fuel contamination. You cannot believe anything government tell you. They are all out to protect their own ass.
Not all locals are happy. Villagers along the coast still can't fish in the area because of the fuel contamination.
I want to reassure the public of New Zealand and Samoa that we will own it, fix it, and learn from it.
Learn from it? Learn what? Hey, new Navy recruits, see if you're in control of a ship and it's not doing what you expect it to do. Double check that you've not left the autopilot on, as that's going to override your actions. There you go. That's your new training program for anyone who stands on the bridge. Problem solved. Judith Collins threw ordinary New Zealand citizens under the bus. Those who had every right to ask questions. She berated them. And it turns out they were right. It was a series of human errors that led to this catastrophe, and therefore the DEI hiring practices of the New Zealand Defence Force must be questioned. Their diversity policies and this LGBTIQ plus inclusion plan must be scrutinised. The people have a right to answers given the money that's been thrown down the drain here. It seems as though they consider being gay, female or non-white as a key factor in recruitment, coming above actual competence. This must be questioned, and the New Zealand Defence Force and government have no right trying to shame you into silence, as Judith has done. Do you think Judith will apologise to the bloke who she dismissed as a guy from Melbourne who drives a truck when he was critical of Yvonne Gray online? The guy who, it turned out, was a New Zealand citizen and one who had served in their armed forces, which Judith and her team would have known as they checked out his LinkedIn profile, but conveniently chose not to mention that in their press conference.
He's from Melbourne in Australia.
I looked to see what else I could find about him. Well, he is someone who drives something. He drives a truck. Because, you know, New Zealanders are better than this. Be better.
Judith told us to be better when we dared to question their hiring practices. How about she now follow her own advice and issue an apology?